consultant. Well, joining me now, Paul DeLiu, who is the director of the Energy Transition Institute at the Robert Gordon University. Paul, thanks for coming on. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Morning. It is a difficult one, isn't it? Because on the one hand, we all use electricity, we need it, but it can cause quite a lot of disruption. And having these massive pylons is never going to be something someone wants on their doorstep.
Yeah, this is a really complex situation, but the world is changing. I mean, particularly of how we're going to generate electricity and use electricity in the future. So traditionally, we had power stations quite close to where we live, but nowadays we get far more coming from remote areas, come from offshore wind. So we need far more transmission systems to get it to us as the customer. But also the demand is going to roughly double over the next 25 years. And this is to do that we're all going to have more electricity to use on a daily basis. Our electric cars, we hope we're going to have the potentially heat pumps. Everything is going to get electrified. So there's just simply more demand. And of course, then in the future, everything will be integrated as well. So we have potentially our solar on our houses, our batteries, our electric cars, everything starts to be connected. So it just needs so much more infrastructure and so much more wiring, and it has to go somewhere. And that puts real pressure on community and conversations like this.
Are there any other ways you can do it or not?
It is tricky. There are options. And again, there's a lot of people looking at very creative things. We have already quite a lot of infrastructure in place. We can strengthen existing pylons and use them to the best possible way. So put more cabling on, have higher voltage going through it. But there's a limit. There's only so much you can do because of the kind of structures they have. And we're looking at offshore cabling. So rather than putting all the cables over land, can we put them as subsea cables on the North Sea? Of course, they're out of mind, and they can't see them. So that makes a real difference. Utilize existing routes. There's a lot of conversations. Can we put pylons next to existing infrastructure, railways, motorways, existing pylon corridors? And of course, can we bury them at sensitive spots so people don't have a visual impact? So yeah, there's a lot to be done. But there's always some choice around flexibility of how you route particular cables.
Yeah, and the cost, I guess. If you're putting stuff more underground and underwater, that's going to be a massive expense, which I think they've said before, haven't they? But it's so important having these sorts of conversations and plans, because more so now than ever, because we've spoken about how energy security has been impacted after Ukraine was invaded a few years ago. Here we are looking at what's going on in the Middle East, talking about supplies of fuel and potential impacts on our energy supplies. So this is important for all of our daily lives on so many different levels, isn't it?
Yeah, this is a really big deal, because of course energy security is truly national security. If you can't have energy, nothing really happens. And the government has a really tough place at the moment, because they need to balance that drive to a greener and cleaner future, but also need to take into account all the community concerns, what you just heard in the clip before. It's a really delicate balance act. It isn't about right or wrong, but the best way to do it is to make sure communities speak to developers and find a practical solution. There are always elements you can do around routing choices, and then I think that's really important these conversations happen.
Yeah, well, thanks for joining us in the conversation this morning, Paul. That is Paul DeLiu, who is the director of the Energy Transition Institute at Robert Gordon University. And it is